Okay, this coming Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Shemini, but we're also going to have the honor and privilege of reading the special Shabbos laning of Parshas Parah, of course, next week being Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, we therefore have a lot to cover and a lot to do. The Parsha begins, Parshas Shemini, which is a jam-packed Parsha, begins on the 8th day Rosh Chodesh Nisan when the Mishkan was being established. And, of course, in that regard, Moshe Rabbeinu turns to Aaron and he says, Zeh hadavar asher tzibo Hashem ta'asu. This is what Hashem commanded for us to do. Now, what's the intent of the words Zeh hadavar? So the Medrash Rabbah in Bamidbar Rabbah notes that Zeh hadavar is a reference to bris. This bris, Zeh hadavar. So Rechaim HaKadosh asks, what's the connection to bris milah over here? What is that all about? So Rechaim HaKadosh explains that the intent is the removal of any impediment between the people and Hashem. And the orla and the milah that's being discussed over here is not regular bris milah, but it's umaltem eis orlas levavchem. It's the orla, it's the removal of the orla of the heart that prevents us from being able to listen to Hashem. And the Beis HaLevi in Parshas Kisisa notes that Moshe Rabbeinu was actually afraid of the danger of allowing the people to proceed unbridled. Indeed, he notes, the sin of Chet HaEgel happened because the people expressed an idea that they decided would bring spirituality, right? And that they were thought that, wow, this is the best way to get to being spiritual, but they were not told to do so. And so hence, the Egel experience taught them to be cautious when approaching Hashem, especially given the fact that the Mishkan was now set up to be that which was to be Mechaper for the ego. Now, Rav Rivlin Shalita, the former Mashgiach in Keren Biavna, adds that this is the intent of the command of Zeh HaDavar. One needs to take personal passion of religious expression and express it in the manner that Hashem expected of us and designed of us and designed for us. That is the message of Zeh HaDavar. So, of course, they try to go ahead and they try to have the Mishkan. And one of the challenges is that it doesn't happen. Vayisa Aaron es yadav, and then Aaron lift up his hands to the people to give them a bracha. And we learn that in the olden days, the primary style of tefillah was with these Vayisa Aaron es yadav, with the outstretched arms. So Bikiva Eger in Orachayim Simon Peites Sif Alef, so he notes that this is the style of the nations of the world today, and so therefore we can't daven with precious kapayim. Rav Huttner, in his volume on Purim, asks why we need to cancel a positive practice simply because others around us ruined it. So Ramati Greenberg Shlita, the Nasi Keren Biavna, explains that when we're commanded to separate between Kodesh and Chol, it includes making a clear demarcation in areas where the lines tend to get a bit fuzzy. And it follows that even if a practice might be a nice practice, or it originated in the Torah, as opposed to being an actual mitzvah, if it were to be corrupted by a different group, it's ripe for removal from our practice in order to curb its assimilation. In other words, if we start doing things that the rest of the world does because the rest of the world is adopting it from us, we'll start hanging out with them, and that's going to be a bad practice. Of course, we cannot change a mitzvah just because the nations of the world decide to do a mitzvah. Anyway, of course, the terrible tragedy of Nadav and Avihu happens in this parasha, and in its response, Hu HaDavar Asher Diber, Hu Asher Diber Hashem Lemor B'Krovai HaKadesh. We read that this is what Hashem said, that I will sanctify myself with my holy people. And of course, the obvious question has to be asked, where does Hashem say this? We never find it in word. And so the Ramban famously explains that Hashem didn't really say it, he constantly demonstrates it through his actions. Rabbi Reisman Shalita, famous Rosh Shiva of Torah Vedas, quotes Rav Schwab that this is our intent in the davening when we praise Asher Yishe Yishma L'mitzvosecha B'saroscha U'Devarcha Yasim Al Libo, that we praise the one who puts Hashem's words on his heart. Now, if we know the word of the Torah, right, well, then what's added for the Devarcha Yasim Al Libo? So Rav Schwab explains that when one sees that Hashem is sending him a direct message in a certain way, and he gets the message, this is the praise of Udvarcha Yasim Ali Bo. It's the messages that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends to the individual as opposed to the general issues in the Torah. But be careful, we often think we know what Hashem is saying, and we really don't. Anyway, Aaron HaKohen is told, Rasheichem al tifro, don't uncover your heads. And the Gemara Mori Katnan Daf Yadal Amid Beis notes that for the Kohen Gadol, all year long is the same as a Yantif for the rest of us as far as the practice of Avelus is concerned. That just like we can't have Avelus, Nihuge Avelus, during a Yantif, a Kohen Gadol can't have it at all. How are we supposed to understand that? So Rav Shachter Shlita would often quote Rav Soloveitchik, who noted that when we are in the Mikdash, as we are on Yontif, we stand in front of Hashem. This is the concept of being Lifnei Hashem. And this creates a certain sense of simcha, that joy of standing Lifnei Hashem. The Kohen Gadol is told never to leave the presence of Hashem. And as such, he's not allowed to be involved in the Avelus practices, which would run counter to the obligation that he has of being besimcha. Simcha means being in presence of Hashem. Avelus, notes Rav Shachter, is when one is unable to enter Hashem's presence. Thereafter, we're told, Moshe Rabbeinu got very upset at Aaron and his children over the fact that certain karbanos were burnt. V'hinei sorach. Now, the Babcher Rebbe pointed out that the difference between Moshe's psak and Aaron's psak is based on their own perspectives. Moshe lived to transmit Torah's Hashem to the people. Aaron, on the other hand, lived to raise the people up to Hashem's Torah. Two different directions. But Torah doesn't change, people do. And thus Moshe came from the perspective that Torah is uniformly applicable in all circumstances. Aaron came from the perspective of trying to take the timeless Torah and apply it effectively on different levels. The Lubavitcher Rebbe added that we need to strive for a Moshe perspective in our lives while allowing for an Aaron approach in the lives of others around us. We also read, Zosachaya asher tochlu. Right, we're told mikol habehema. Right, we're told that this is the chaya that you're supposed to consume from all behemos. Now, the pasuk begins with a conversation about a chaya, and it concludes with the ideas of a behema. Why is that? So Rashi simply comes along and explains that the word chaya here refers to living things, and that Bnei Yisrael are commanded to eat selectively, since we are indeed different. Rashi cites the famous analogy in the Medrash Tanchuma that compares our eating to that of a different type of chola. The one that can get well is given a specific diet. The one that can't get well, so that person is allowed to eat whatever he wants. And that's what the Torah is trying to get us to understand. Rabbi Per Shalita, the Rosh Yeshiva, and Yeshiva Sfarai, the Yeshiva Far Rockaway, so he explained that we're different from animals. Roaches eat paint. We don't. Camels eat thistles and thorns. We don't. Dogs eat rotten meat. We don't. Humans need a diet of health, since our eating is designed in order to eat with an eye towards Nitzrius. We are supposed to eat towards Chayim. That's what the Torah is teaching us over here, by calling it Zosachaya Shatochlu, if you want to live. When we eat, we sanctify ourselves through food, and that sanctification is the reason we merit life itself. This is our obligation, this is our responsibility. And we're also told, Lahavdil Bein HaTameh Ubein HaTor, that we have an obligation to separate between a tame and a tahor, right? And what does that teach us? So Rashi explains that the intent here is to highlight things that are tame to us that need to be distinguished from that which is tahor to us, like the difference between a situation where simanim were partially shechted as opposed to where they were majorly shechted. So Rav Olbi Zatzal points out that the difference between half and majority is a small amount. Still, it's called havdalah. And in matters of kedusha, the Kedusha matters, the difference can all be a small bit, but it makes all of the difference. This Shabbos, we're also going to have the honor and privilege of reading the Maftir for Parshas Parah, and it's often noted that Parshas Parah is identified by Tosis and Brachos on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph as one of those Torah readings whose obligation is Midoraisa. Now, Mori V'Rabbi Rav Shachter would often ask us, what's the nature of this biblical obligation? And Rav Shachter would often mention the explanation of the stipler, that the biblical obligation is the obligation of Beis Din to warn the people not to enter the Mikdash Tameh. V'zartem es b'nei Yisrael mitumosam. That is the responsibility. Rav Shachter would also add that similarly, a sign exists at the entrance to Har HaBayis from the Rabbanut, warning the people not to enter the Makom HaMikdash in the state of Tumah. Now, this warning is best given when the tzibur gathers, and so therefore it should be provided now so that we're properly warned when the mikdash is rebuilt, b'mehera v'yameinu, not to go in there tameh. The Torah Tumimah, on the other hand, suggests that perhaps it's a different issue. Namely, it's the kiyum of the obligation to remember the Chet HaIgel. And rather than have a Shabbos dedicated to the reading of a said section of the Torah, the Torah Tumima suggests that we use the principle of Parah Aduma, which is often recognized for the comment of Yavo Ha'im V'Kaneach Tzawas Binah, to let the mother cow come and clean up the mess of her child, the ego, as the fulfillment of that obligation. Finally, in the Haftorah, which is read also in honor of the laning of Parshas Parah, we read Kitzom HaKadashim Kitzon Yerushalayim B'Mo'adah. And Rabbi Leib Minchenberg, Zecher Tzadik Livracha of Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, describes the month of Adar in the Yerushalayim of old. Rabbi Minchenberg noted that how the month would begin with the people rushing to pay their shekel obligation, and as we got towards the end of the month, how they lined up to become Torah. See the Mishnayos in Masechta Parah, Perek Yud Beis, which describes the process of the people coming together and how they had to set up special windows so that people would be able to become Torah within the process. And then thereafter, the people need to run around in order to put together their groups, the Chaburos for Korban Pesach, at which time the marketplace became filled with the sheep for the selection for Korban Pesach. And who could forget the excitement and the crowds of the actual Shechitas HaPesach? May we get the chance to experience this B'mheira V'yameinu Shabbat Shalom to all.